Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, good morning, Doug. How you doing?
I'm doing just peachy. And we're also being joined by John Peters. How you doing, Johnny? Pull up a stool.
Fantastic. How we doing, guys?
We're doing good. We're a little living vicariously through you that you leave in a couple days, and you get, well, you're leaving tomorrow to get down to the happiest place on earth.
Yep. Bob's going to drive by and give me a tag off. I'm taking over for him, so I'll be down there for a couple of days touring the food and wine. So.
Yeah, we're going to release that. We just did another, Bob popped in the other night, and he did another food and wine review, like a live one from Coronado Springs, to go over a lot of the meals that he had at the different food kiosks or marketplaces, as I like to call them. And so I'll put that up for you guys this week, and I think you will really enjoy it. And then John's going to go down there and tell us what he likes, which will disagree with Bob on half of the subjects, probably. What do you think, Johnny?
Some of them that he enjoyed, I think I'll like. And then there's a couple that probably aren't going to impress me a whole lot. But one of them he didn't like at all. It looked like the edamame. So I think I'm just going to skip that one altogether. So it's a lot to pay for soybeans.
Is that string bean looking thing, the green stuff? Yeah, that didn't look too appetizing
to
me
either. No, it didn't.
I try not to eat a lot of things I can't pronunciate. I'm just kidding,
you
guys.
You don't eat much, do you?
No, that's what I was going to say. That was the joke. I was going to say, I'm just kidding, guys, because if you listen to me and Dennis do our food reviews, we never eat.
I know.
Dennis saying soda and I mispronunciating. we're in trouble, Dan.
We're fine. We have a language all our own.
Absolutely. It's called the Northeast.
There you go. Speaking of that, is it raining down there yet? Or?
Not yet. I mean, and we need it, man. It's like dry as a bone. I got to go out and cut my grass before football today, and it's going to be like going through the tumbleweeds.
I mean, I got lawns where I work, Doug. It's like walking on a bag of potato chips, walking across the grass where it has no irrigation. It's just so dry. It's ridiculous.
Oh, that's how mine is. It's like I told my wife it's going to be like cutting a cornfield down today.
<It's crazy. laughs>
with all the dust, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, but no, John, you have plenty of rain down there, haven't you?
Yeah, it rained quite a bit last night. I had to grill on our screen porch instead of getting out in the yard to grill. So, yeah, we get our afternoon thunderstorms almost every day, so.
Yeah, we were getting rain at the beginning of the summer nonstop, and then said nonstop since all the way up to like July, and then after July, then it's same for you, it just stopped raining, like the faucet was turned off.
Yeah, we were in a good cycle there where we got rain, you know, every 3-4 days, it was just perfect, and now it's just, I think they said yesterday we're 7 or 8 inches, you know, to the deficit as far as, you know, rainfall. So it's, you know, they haven't put a water ban on, but it's voluntary at this point, but it's pretty
well, you're not as bad as us. I mean, we're not as bad as you because we're still two or three inches to the good, but it's not doing good. Like, we need this rain today pretty bad just to start. We need the rain. The reason you need some rain is when it gets this dry, the first rain usually just loosens the soil up so the next rain can absolutely absorb into the ground.
Boy, we see this up here. You know, it's like when you have them little flash floods. It's so, the ground is so dry and hard and compacted, the water just runs over the top and it doesn't, like you said, absorb in like it should. It takes a couple of storms to, you know, loosen up that crust, if you will, and start to absorb into the earth.
This segment is called Living with the Land. with Statler and Waldorf.
All right, we did our agricultural part. Let's go with football. What about them Eagles? What about them Patriots? How about them
all three of them won. I don't know the last time that happened.
Yeah, there's three teams. It's rare that you get all three to win or lose, for that matter. It's usually a mixed bag. But yeah, my team. I mean, I look at it as any win we get, well, Brady is a bonus for us. So I was saying if we could go 500, I'd be happy. But now the bar is a little higher that we won on the road in Arizona. So I'm looking for 3-1 anyway.
You're
going
undefeated, man.
Well, of course, but I don't want to come off as a total tool.
You do, but we still love you. But no, I'm happy. I got the future Tom Brady coming to the Eagles right now with a Carson Wentz. I'm just happy that I got Doug Peterson back. I know people disagree with that. I'm happy to get my football coach reminds me of my old football coach in Andy Reid, because I was an Andy Reid supporter. I believe you get the Super Bowl, you can win it. You get the 6 NFC Championship games, you're a winner. You know, you need a little luck, and you know that, Dan. If it wasn't for the tuck rule, you wouldn't have got your first Super Bowl. I mean, things happen. I'm not holding it against you, because you still have to win it. But you know what I'm saying?
Any team that wins, Doug, if you took a picture of their whole season, there's probably a handful of plays that if they went the other way, they wouldn't have made the playoff. Yep. Whether playoffs or won the Super Bowl, because they might not have gotten home field advantage, which could have made a difference. There's all these things that happen. So I mean, obviously it's magnified when things happen in the big game, in the Super Bowl or the AFC or NFC title game, but there are a whole host of other things that happen, including injuries.
That's what killed us every single year in the NFC Championship game. We lost one of our best players. That meant a lot. We lost Chad Lewis. He's not as good as Gronk, but he was Donovan's safety valve, if you follow me. And then we end up with a rookie that was running wrong routes through the entire Super Bowl in L.J. Smith. That stuff means stuff. We lost Brian Westbrook in two other NFC Championship games. That would be like the Cowboys losing Emmitt Smith to them. You know, so there's certain pieces. And then, John, you're looking good. Jameis Winston and Mike Evans, Doug Martin, there's a good young offense right there.
Yeah, strangely enough, an offense for the Bucks, which is, I've been a Bucks fan for a long time, and the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's always been the defense, and that's what won the Super Bowl for us that one year. But yeah, and they farted around and almost let the defense give that game away last weekend. But luckily enough, they had scored enough points to stay ahead of them. But yeah, we can tighten up that defense. They look really good.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to see that kid, because I actually have him on my fantasy league. The one fantasy league that I do is. Do you like that? Do-do. We do a keeper league that I've had for since 91, 25 years my league's been in existence. And our league is you keep your entire team. It's a dynasty league. So if one of your guys gets in a wreck or does something where the cops arrest him in the offseason, he's part of your team. So you got to deal with it. And I got Jameis Winston, and I'm so proud of the kid. I'm happy for the kid that he's actually taking it seriously and getting into shape. He seems to be doing all the right things with some of the knucklehead moves he made at Florida State when he was a kid. I'm glad to see he's becoming a man, and he looks like he's really committed to be a really good football player.
Yeah, he's really kept his nose clean. That's what I was worried about when they drafted him, because I was really more of a Marcus Mariota fan than I was of Jameis Winston. But yeah, I'm happy they drafted him now. He looks pretty good, and he's kept his nose clean and stayed out of trouble, so it's a good thing. Although he's probably crying in his cereal this morning after that disgusting loss by Florida State yesterday.
That was horrible. And the sad part about that is, and we're sorry about the sports segment here, but I have to get into it on my next trip. I'm staying at All-Star Sports. We're talking sports now. But anyway, I couldn't believe that. And they're on Showtime now doing, like, Hard Knocks on Showtime. What's that film going to look like this week? I mean, could you imagine being that coach, have to have them cameras following you all week after that deal?
Yeah. Jimbo Fisher's got his hands full. That was a total decimation of their defense. Just absolutely manhandled.
After that debacle, he should just start calling himself Jim, because Jimbo ain't going to help him at this point. It's only going to make it worse. You know all the jokes are going to be about Jimbo, don't you, Dan?
Yeah, probably.
So we're getting excited. Your trip's on Tuesday, or tomorrow, right, Johnny?
Yep, leaving tomorrow, mid-morning, afternoon.
What are you excited about?
Something like that, and heading over And yeah, the Clampett's coming to town, going to the Grand Floridian for some bizarre reason. So.
That's gonna be funny.
I'm gonna take a picture of the concrete pond and
no, it's
sure
called
I,
get it right,
it
the
there,
cement
so.
Pond.
Cement pond. I'm sorry. Cement
but you're in the DVC Villas, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, though. I mean, I've never even walked step foot in them, but I'm sure they're beautiful.
I'll have plenty of pictures up. So.
Do they have their own pool, John?
Yeah, I think so. I think they have a pool, and then in between the main building and the DVC, I think is that new kids' water play area.
Oh, yeah. The Alice in Wonderland, the Mad Hatter. I took pictures of that when I was in the at the Grand Floridian once. Actually, I was on the phone with you, Doug. You might not remember, but I was one of my trips that
I
took. I
remember
because
you left there and you went over to the Wilderness Lodge or vice versa. Yep.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, I know exactly where you're going to be, John. But, yeah, and all kidding aside, I mean, it's a beautiful resort, and I'm still jealous that you're going, and I still got to wait 4 weeks.
Yeah, but they got multiple cement ponds over there from what I heard, John. So, even if you get one and foul it, there'll be many more for the other guests to use. And I love how fired up our good buddy Judith gets when we pick on the Grand Floridian. We're only kidding, Judith. I would give anything to stay there. If I get offered a week and that's the only place, I would stay there. It's just, I am not criticizing. We only kid because we love, but we just feel like we're not highfalutin enough to be over there. It's just our own problem. Nobody else's.
Yeah, let me reiterate again. It's not the cast members at all. I've done nothing. They are some of the friendliest cast members I've ever ran into. I mean, super friendly. It's just the decor of the entire area. It's not what I'm accustomed to.
It's just a point that if they were casting for Gone with the Wind, me, you, and Dennis would not be put in that cast. It's just that's the deal. It has nothing to do with the resort. The resort is wonderful. The cast members are wonderful. It's beautiful. We're like putting square pegs in round holes when it comes to that resort. It's our own problem, isn't it? It isn't the resorts. It's our problem, Judith. We love it. It's Disney. So.
Yeah. But anyways, we look forward to, you know, hearing John's reports back, and I'm sure we'll be talking to him along the way and hearing all about it in detail. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, do you guys want to record a show Tuesday night?
Yeah,
right?
If you're willing, we're available right then.
Yeah, there you go. A little inside WDW Main Street. So we'll do something Tuesday.
Sounds
John.
Good. What time are you looking
right,
about?
Sounds good.
John?
Probably. I don't know, the regular time you guys, we do a show, 6:37, something like that.
But we don't want to mess up your vacay, right. So how many days are you going to be there?
Just two. We're just there for Monday and Tuesday
awesome,
night, so.
You have a good time, you'll probably eat your way around the world twice.
And the thing is, I got the rest of the week off, so if we really feel inspired, we can always just turn around and go back out there. So.
Which I'm betting you always...
I know you guys hate hearing that, but it's
I'm
true.
Betting you will, a day or two.
Yeah, then next Thursday or Friday, we might just say, hey, what the heck, and go out
well,
for the day.
That's a great thing about having your annual passes.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to hearing whatever you eat. Are you going to be doing Epcot both days? Is that the goal?
Yeah, I think we're going to check into the hotel and head right over to Epcot. And then Tuesday morning, we're going to get up, and we've got reservations for breakfast at Kona Cafe again because it was so fantastic. And then hit Magic Kingdom for a couple of hours, mainly because I'm staying at the Grand Floridian, a monorail ride away from the Magic Kingdom, and I'd feel silly if I didn't at least go over for a couple of hours. But then right after that, head right up back over to Epcot for the rest of that afternoon. So
Dan, I think me and you're going to get to see the Tree of Life lit up before John does. What do you think?
Yeah, very well made by the sound.
I'm really thinking that's going to happen.
I can't help it. It's Epcot, man. What do you want me to do? Come on.
especially in defense of John, especially this time of year. Food and Wine wasn't going on. I'd say he's got to squeeze an Animal Kingdom day in there. But given it's Food and Wine, I'll cut him some slack.
You know.
Actually, you know what my wife found for me for my birthday? My birthday's coming up next week. She's already given me my gifts. She finally found a field guide book to the Animal Kingdom. And so it's what I've been looking for forever, and I had a horrible time finding either an app or an actual physical book. And it's got, you know, a picture of the animal, a brief description, where you find it, and then like a check mark where you can check them off once you've seen them and stuff like that. That's what I've been looking for forever, and I could never find one, and finally she found one.
Now all you got to do is get your butt over there.
Yeah, I think that's coming.
I'm sorry. No. I was just going to say, I'm sure you haven't read it in depth yet, but do you have any idea of how many animals there are in total in Animal Kingdom?
It looks like there's space for, I think there was 300 to 400, so at least. And then it's actually even got some of the, a lot of the plants and stuff. So, brief description.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm surprised Disney hasn't thought of that. I mean, that's a thing where, you know, I'm assuming you're going to do over multiple trips. I mean, you're not going to look at, be able to find or see 400 different creatures all, you know, in one trip. But that would be an awesome thing. I'm going to have to, if you could tweet me a picture or send me a picture or something, I'd like to pick that up for my trip.
Wouldn't you think that's something that they would have readily available out there?
You think they'd put it next to the guide maps, even for sale for a couple bucks?
Yeah. Where the hidden Mickey books are or something. Go ahead.
I was going to say the only thing that I would have maybe even liked just a little bit more would have been an app for your phone where you could, you know, maybe they'd have a picture of the animal and then you could take a picture of yourself and put in there and make up your
library.
Trip. Yeah, it would have been so cool. But
if we weren't so horrible at tech stuff, we
create
could,
that app and make, know, some,
make
money,
some money.
Absolutely.
Here. Yeah, exactly.
So if anybody knows that and you want to steal our idea, we'll go 50-50 with you over here at the Main Street Podcast.
There you go. You have the capabilities to do it. I'll be your first customer.
Exactly.
So.
The only map I can think of in the Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, that has that, when you ride on the Kilimanjaro Safari, they have that thing on the visor that has all the animals there.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that's the only thing I can recall seeing that is specific to the animals, other than the placards in front of the exhibits. But, you know, nothing mobile that you can take with you.
It's so weird when you check into the Animal Kingdom Lodge, they give you a map that has the animals that you can find there, and it's got a brief description and a place to check them off and all that type of stuff. So you would think if they thought of it to do it at the lodge, that they would have done it at Animal Kingdom, because there's, 10 times the amount of animals at the at the park?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
they need to do something. But, no, I'm looking forward to it. Me and Dan will be over there. I know I'll be getting my fried wontons and vanilla ice cream somehow, one way, shape, or form, if I have to get one of the waiters to sneak it out the door to me for takeout. But I'm definitely going to go over and see the Tree of Life lit up and the River of Lights one night. I know that for sure.
Now, do we think that show is going to be operating?
Well, now they know I'm coming. They might have it ready.
Oh, okay.
I had to make a few phone calls.
So it's still... But we have no idea. It's still
day-to-day
on that thing.
I haven't gotten any updates on it. I mean, have you seen anything down there, Johnny?
No, I haven't seen any new reports on it. And other than they had extended the Jungle Book show a little bit, but that was it. So, yeah, it's a little disappointing. We would have been over there to see that if it had been going. So, yeah. But
it's the most bizarre thing. They had like a false start, you know. They you know, the whole thing with announcing a date and then pulling it back, and you know, 2 weeks turned into a month, turned into a couple of months, and like you said, Doug, it's almost like it's forgotten and nobody even mentions it anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like I said, I think it has to do with a lot of it has to do with the drones.
I don't know what it is, but it's, you know, I hope that it opens in the next 37 days or whatever it is. It's seeming less likely now, though, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, I was even looking things up. I mean, I can't wait myself to see the Tree of Life Awakens. I mean, that I think that's going to be as awesome as, I got to see that. I really do. I mean, that looks phenomenal. I mean, I've seen it on video on YouTube multiple times, but that's one of those things where there's no way it's anywhere near as good as it is impressive as when you see it live. So I'm looking, you know, Tree of Life, Animal Kingdom, you know, guys know how much I love it there. So I have to go over and see that lit up. I mean, I love the tree as it is with the animal. I have to see it every time I'm down just to look at the carvings again, because it impresses me so much, let alone it lighting up in the middle of the night. So, yeah, we'll head over to the Rombay Marketplace and have dinner there one night and watch the light awakens, and maybe one of you guys will join me.
Yeah, maybe, and you'll have to pick up some of that barbecue sauce and the rub there for your
Absolutely.
Steaks.
I had to put that on the to-do list. I got to start one of them.
Yes.
So you guys want to start the news before we babble for another 3 hours?
Sure.
We're going to call this the Babbling Beginning Podcast. This episode is going to be the Babbling Beginning.
Yeah. We've hit weather, sports, and my trip so far.
And the little news.
And we did a pre-show that the listeners don't know about.
That was a half hour.
Let's see here. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party now sold out for October 31st. So if you're heading down to Walt Disney World during that time, you can't go on Halloween night. So you'll have to book one of the other nights. And I've seen this happen in the past. Sometimes the night before will sell out too. So if this is important to you, that you want to see the party, book now, or you may get shut out, because it's obviously a very popular show. And in and around Halloween they do sell out, although they started in August, but when you get in and around the actual holiday, it ramps up and the crowds tend to be a little bit bigger.
Yeah,
so
well, the problem I have with it too, Dan, is speaking of the well, you know, how we babble on about the problems with the shows and the parties and all that. Like, we're getting there on the 25th and the 26th, the park, they do help you out. It's open to 1 a.m. and 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. Then the rest of the week, the parties are there. So if we don't get into Wednesday, the only night you're going to be able to stay late at the Magic Kingdom if you don't have Fast Pass will be that Wednesday night, and that's it.
If you don't have a party
ticket? Yeah, if you don't
have
a party ticket, the rest of that week, the 26th, Wednesday the 26th, it's open to 1 a.m. The 27th, there's a party.
Yep.
You know, a special ticket event. The 28th, there's a party. It opens early. The 29th, again, now Saturday night, it's open to 9 a.m. So, but the 26th, 27th, and 28th, you can't go. Unless you have it. Or the 27th and 28th, you can't go. So, like, we're only there for the four days, maybe five, and three of them has a party. So, I mean, and that's the thing I'm talking about. Like, I told my godson and them, because they ain't been down in 3 years, that they have to do Park Hopper anyway, because they were looking to save the $64 each. But I said to him, I said, with food and wine going on and these Halloween parties going on, you're going to be wanting to go to over to food and wine after you leave other parks. But also, you're going to be kicked out of certain things. And that's the point I've always made. It's just, the normal person like me and you, we can figure it out. But we know that I have it as part of mine. And you guys have annual passes. So it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Isn't that confusing, like having to look at all that stuff?
I totally agree. I mean, like you said, we're in the know, and you know, you do travel agent stuff, so you're looking at these dates all the time, so it's second nature to you. But the family that's going for the first time, or for the first time in 3 or 4 years, you know, that's probably 10th or lower on their list of things they're worried about. They're worried about getting their hotel room and you know, what kind of ticket to get, and maybe making ADRs and fast passes. They're not looking at the crowd calendar or the park hour calendar to see what's open or what parties are available. That's way, way down on the list. And for some people, they never even think to they never consider that. They just figure the parks are there and they're open and they can go
whenever
they want.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, John. And you probably know a lot of people like this too. Like, those two, if I wasn't in looking at this stuff, they wouldn't. We would just get down there and let's go, man. They would just go wherever, and they'd find out at 6 o'clock they're going. It's just how they are. And I know more people like that than not. Not that there's anything wrong. It's just it's how they are.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like me. This is a good example. Like, if I decided all of a sudden I was going to go over to Universal, I mean, I don't keep up to date with their things or what they're doing, and I have no idea if they have events that cause their parks to be closed down. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but I would just go over there on the day that I picked to go and or the night or whatever, and I wouldn't consider, you know, what the park hours are on a certain day. I'd just show up, so I could see how people would do that at Walt Disney
World.
Yeah, well,
they have those Halloween Horror Nights. I don't know what time I get kicked out for that, and I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
John, well, I know you know more than us because you're down there, but I know you have friends and family members that are nowhere near as into it as you, and they would have no idea half this stuff's going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the last time I took my nephew out to Disney, he didn't have a clue, and if he but fortunately for him, he's got a uncle who knows everything. But yeah, if he was out there by himself with his girlfriend, they would have ended up at a park and not known what time it opened, what time it closed, or anything. So yeah, they need to make it accessible, especially at Food and Wine. I'm glad you talked your brother-in-law and godson into getting a park hopper, because at this time of year you want to end up every evening at Epcot having a couple of snacks before, I mean, that's the perfect way to end your day and then maybe catch
Yeah, we're
Illumination.
probably
So
going to do that 3 out of 4 nights is what my plan is. The one night I'm going to
nothing wrong with
the
that
one
at
night
all.
I'm definitely going to end up at Animal Kingdom, was I have to see that, like I just talked about. But the other three, I'll probably be at Epcot probably every day. I don't even know if I'll The only reason I'll end up in the studios on this trip would be for investigative reporting, which will be very early. Yeah, that
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go around to see the construction, Star Wars, the launch. Just go roam around, see where they've come with all that stuff. Those two will want to do Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower. So while they're doing that, I'll probably roam around and do investigate. Yeah,
Great
a great
movie
movie
ride.
ride. And they'll probably want to do that, but I'm just saying I'll go around, take pictures, look at stuff, get up to date on stuff, and then meet back up with them, because I won't do Rock and Roller or Tower this trip, and those two will want to do it multiple times, so I'll let them do that.
Yep.
We'll all do Toy Story probably together, stuff like that. But I could see me again out of the studios by like 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, the good thing is you have the friendship boat, so even if you split up with them or they stayed longer to do those attractions, you could head over to Epcot and just hop on the boat or, take your walkway or whatever you
Yeah,
want to
because
do.
I might be doing more of this trip too of the Disney transportation, just because I'm gonna want to roam all day, and I ain't gonna, because there might be days where I'm on the boardwalk, go to the studios, head back to Epcot, and then you understand, and just take the buses all over the place, or boats, or whatever I want to do. Maybe if I'm at Epcot, hop on the monorail and go back to the Magic Kingdom. I just want to fly by the seat of my pants for the most part. So,
That's the beauty of it.
And if they want to do something different, like I told them, I want to be 90% with them, but the 10% is going to be like me wanting to do exploration. So, but that's what the point of it is, but they wouldn't know. That's why I got to be with them. I'll be guiding them here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, can you imagine how disappointed they would be if they didn't have you with them or to recommend that they get the park hopper, that they had just bought a 4 or 5 day individual ticket and then got down there and realized that there's only that stuff open at Hollywood Studios. They're done at noon, 1 o'clock, and they can't go anywhere else. And then maybe the next day they go to the Magic Kingdom and get kicked out at 7 o'clock. That would pretty much ruin your vacation. Well, not ruin, maybe not ruin it, but at least put a
Exactly,
damper on
because
it,
they're not. It's a 20-year-old boy, my brother-in-law, and they're not gonna want to go on Frozen Ever After or Ariel or they're not. They're gonna want to do, and they're more into the, like, he's the one that loves Mission Space. My brother-in-law, my God, they love that. The point of it is they're more into let's hit the rides. I mean, they think it's beautiful and all, but neither one's gonna want to stand there and look at the architecture inside the candy shop for 15 minutes. Yeah, which I will, or none of them.
What's wrong with
Exactly.
them?
When we're in
Exactly.
Liberty Square looking down at the trenches in the ground, and you know what I'm saying, just being so
Yep.
so you're right, John. So if we go to the studios, they're literally going to be Star Tours, Toy Story, Great Movie Ride, Tower Terror, and Rock and Roller Coaster. They're going to be ready to go. I mean, we might go over and see, maybe we'll do it an opposite, maybe one night and do the Star Wars Spectacular, because I know they would love that. The fireworks, if it's even on that night, because now all of a sudden the studios is doing on and off nights again. So,
Yeah, I'd actually like to get over and see that on this trip, believe it or not. I mean, I don't know if my plans will allow it, but I would like to see that firsthand because I know you've spoke highly of it, and John, you said it's an awesome show, and I do want to see that,
So maybe
absolutely.
we could make one of those things where the guys all sneak over to the studios that night just to see the fireworks and then head back to wherever you want to go. And I might do that one night, like, instead of seeing Illuminations, God forbid, maybe shoot on over to the studios just to see that if it's open late that night, if they're having a late version of it or something. But that's where I could see me going back. Maybe we'll do a night trip to do that. But I do like to, I want to be in there one morning early just to explore. John's new Ratso's pizza restaurant, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe do a rope drop or something and get over there early and do a bunch of pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah, then one night it would be great with them having the park hopper to go back and see the Star Wars Spectacular. You know, and end the night like that. And then maybe head over to Riverside and see Yeehaw Bob.
Man, there's so much to do down there. It's crazy, you know. But it goes to show you when people say, why do you go to Disney World all the time? Here you are, you got 4 or 5 days, and you've mentioned about 12 things you want to do all at the same time, which is, you know, it's a good problem to have, but it's just so much to do. And then, you know, I remember on earlier shows you were saying, I'm going to spend a lot of time at Disney Springs. It's 7, 8 places. You know, it's like you got to cut yourself in half to go everywhere just to see what you want to see.
And that'll end the night completely. that'll be where I'll be walking on my knuckles to get over there to see all that.
Yeah, right. So. You do rope drop to, you know, close at Disney Springs. That's a full day and then
some.
Yeah,
you sleep hard. That's one of those days where you need to go what you do is you go back and have a power nap for 20 minutes and get a shower and get revised. You know, because that's what I like to do around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Leave the parks. I go back to the room. I like to take an afternoon shower and recharge the batteries for like an hour and then go back at it. Do you guys do that usually?
Yeah, especially when the kids were small, we used to do that. Not so much now, but you are right. Even if you don't sleep, even if just to maybe take your sneakers off and to get a shower and just get off your feet for 15, 20 minutes, sometimes that's enough just to, like you said, recharge
your
batteries.
That's how me and Brenda tour every time the last 40 trips we've been there. We always do it that way. We go early, and then we come back to the room 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere around then. In the middle of the heat of the day, we go back to the room, we get showered, we get freshened up, and then we decide what park we're going back to. So that's why it's park hoppers for us. That's why we rarely do the same park all day. It's always like hodgepodge with gods. We'll do a whole day of Magic Kingdom, but one day it'll be in the morning, and then we'll go back one night to end the night. But that's how all of our trips have always been. We like that 2 or 3 o'clock in the middle of the day just to chill, clean up, take a shower, reapply the deodorant, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not offending nobody. Yep. And we usually go out to dinner. Right. So I usually like to do that. I like to also, and it might sound weird, but I recommend it highly. I like to go back because I don't wear sandals like John or Crocs like you. I like to go back and put a fresh pair of new socks on. And just for the walking, like I wear them down I usually buy brand new socks for the whole trip. And I put a new pair on after I get a shower, and it seems like it keeps your feet fresher. It might sound stupid, but that extra padding, when I'm being brand new, it really helps being fresh. So it's a little tip that with me wearing sneakers all day, that really helps me. So, and you got to do whatever you can do if you're going from 8 a.m. till midnight.
Yeah. No, that's a great plan. I mean, you know, as we all know, it can be a grueling experience negotiating the theme parks and all that's to do at Walt Disney World. So any, you know, respite you can get in the middle of the day, you know, that's part of the big benefit of staying on an on-property hotel. I mean, that you can do that. Not that you can't if you're out on, 192 or whatever, or an international drive, but, you know, if it takes you 2 hours round trip to get, you know, to get to the parking lot, ride the tram, get to your car, negotiate the traffic, and, you know, that's, you know, a couple hours of your vacation you're losing. But, you know, when you're on property, although it can take an hour or better depending on where you are, it is convenient to do what you just said, and I highly recommend taking advantage of that, you know, having the hotel that close to the theme parks.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
I was just going to say the only thing we do different is I hit the pool for, you know, half an hour and then go take a shower, and also gives you a chance to maybe have a beer or two at a little bit of a more affordable price of maybe one you brought yourself.
We like to do. Just unwind. Now, I can honestly see just what you're speaking of here on this trip, taking the car in the morning, because I'm going to be going to one park, one resort, whatever. And then after we return it, to go buy the transportation just because I'm going to be out late. I don't want to worry about driving back. You understand what I'm saying? So I could see that happening too. To get more things done, use the car in the morning, and then just use Disney transportation at night. So if I meet up with you guys at Yeehaw Bob or somewhere like that, you can have a drink or two. And that's the other thing I'm happy about doing resort to resort. They're talking about the bus system. Direct resort, so that'll help out.
Now, will that do they run just until park closing? That that bus route you just mentioned, or you know,
I'm not sure about that yet. They haven't come out with all the fine tuning of it yet, or I might use an Uber.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, but like you said, it'd be cool if, you know, where Bob and my families are staying at Coronado, maybe we meet up over there after Illuminations or something for have a drink at the Laguna Bar or something, and then
nights a week
get the bus back. Yeah,
have a nightcap over there.
Yeah, because I think that's open probably, well, 11 on Disney time, right? Everything closes at 11, is that right?
Yeah, I think so, but I could always take the bus from Coronado to Disney Springs and then a bus from Disney Springs back to the All-Star.
I hate that, though. That's time consuming.
I'm just saying at the end of the night when I ain't got nothing else to do.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah. You then you an hour and a half. I don't know. That just seems like where Coronado Springs is, right? You're in the Animal Kingdom
area.
So is
All-Star.
So, yeah. Yeah, so you'd have to go all the way from Coronado to you'd be going away from where you want to go to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I think I'd do an Uber for about $3 or $4 right there.
Or bring the rent a car over.
Yeah.
Go back to All Star and drive the rent a car over to meet you guys if I'm still capable.
We'll figure it out. It'll work out.
It will. What's the next piece, Denny?
I forgot we were doing news. I thought we were just having a conversation.
You said the Halloween Not So Scary Party was sold out for October 31st.
Yeah. Doctor Strange preview coming to the One Man's Dream in October. So they're continuing this program of showing coming attractions. But the 10-minute sneak peek will begin on October 7th at Disney's Hollywood Studios ahead of the movie's November 4th, 2016 opening in theaters. So if this is something that interests you, you want to see the trailer for this Doctor Strange movie that's coming out, you'll be able to do that starting on October 7th.
What's this movie supposed to be about? Do you guys know? Do you know, John?
It's another Marvel one. I'm not positive if he's a hero or a villain. But, it's another Marvel comic book one.
Well, I'll definitely have to see it then because I love everything Marvel.
Yep, you're going to fit that in on your trip, too?
Yeah, we'll see. we'll see. If the kids are there while they're riding Tower of Terror, I just might, because I love going through One Man's Dream.
Right, right. You might work out that you have some time on your hands waiting for them, so you may work out
whatever fits in a couple hours in the morning at the studios or late at night before the Star Wars deal, I'll be watching.
Yep. Let's see here. Levi's in the town center at Disney Springs. So Levi's Jeans opened up a store. The latest store to open in Disney Springs is the denim retailer Levi's, one of the world's largest apparel companies with over 500 stores, products in 110 countries around the world. Inside, you'll find a full range of products for adults and children, including jeans, shorts, shirts, and accessories. An important point to note is that this store carries the Levi's mainline and is not an outlet store. Expect to pay around $70 for jeans, holy moly, which are of superior quality to the outlet store versions. Uniquely for the Disney Springs location, the store includes a tailor shop, which let you have items hand-customized right there in the store. It is the only Levi's store in Florida with a tailor shop, and just one of a handful worldwide.
Yeah, they put emojis on there, it looks like, with smiley faces and stuff like that. I wonder if they can put Mickey Mouse or something on here.
Hey, for $70, that's probably extra.
Oh, absolutely. It's extra for any embroidering. Absolutely. They ain't tailoring anything. They probably charge you an extra $5 to have the Levi's tag on it.
Yeah, yeah. And you wouldn't have guessed it, but Levi's can be found in the town center district across from Unicoli, however you say that, near to World of Disney. Operating hours are 11 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. daily. So, this actually is, I don't know that I'll be buying $70 denim jeans, but I'll definitely check this store out. It sounds like it's at least interesting enough to me to go in and, peruse around.
Well, that's my brand of choice, but I know I won't be able to afford to buy any there when I can buy them here at my local store for $40.
Yeah, but if they embroider a Mickey head on it, that might suck you in.
Yeah, I might get WDW Main Street embroidered on my back pocket. I mean, because I do have a nice little backside, you know. I mean, I'm fit figure. I mean, I might do some advertising on my butt.
Well, then maybe you have use some of them gift cards, you know, to get yourself a little, a nice pair of Levi's embroidered
jeans.
Yeah,
I would never wear them because they're from Disney. I ain't going to mess them up. But no, I might get that WDW Main Street embroidered across the butt.
Yeah.
Podcast with the big exclamation point on the pocket.
You'll get one of those glass cases and hang him on his wall at home. He'll never wear
exactly
for $70 or $110 by the time the embroidery.
Exactly. I was going to say $1.50. You're being cheap.
Yeah. So. What do you think, John? You're going to pick up five of these for work or something?
You know what? I've got a Levi jeans listed on eBay right now for $8. So I'm going to go ahead and skip that place. So.
Yeah, that's all I wear is Levi's. John don't even wear jeans. He's had to buy the shorts.
Yeah. I've got one pair of Wrangler jeans that have been in my closet for 15 years, and I wear them maybe once every other winter, and that's it.
That's crazy, man.
Well, you can buy them, John, and just cut the legs off, and you'll be good.
I wonder what shorts are. Shorts are probably 50.
Yeah. 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 Half price, half the material, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Next, we have guest relations services being tested in the Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland. The Tomorrowland Land Light and Power Company shop in the Magic Kingdom is home to a new guest relations location. Although only in a limited time test, guest relations cast members are on hand daily from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. to offer assistance to guests. Available services include dining reservations, ticket purchases and upgrades, ticket replacement, and special event tickets. Guest relations services have previously only been available in City Hall on Main Street, USA. That location continues to operate as normal. The test is expected to run through the end of the first week of October. So this may be done and closed by the time we get there.
Yeah, like everything else, Dan.
Yeah. Although I like that idea, sometimes that Main Street USA location can be quite busy and lines there. So I don't know if they're looking to replace that location with this location or just added services elsewhere in the park. What do you think?
I think they need more, to be honest with you. They should have more. They do need more because there's times right at the front there it becomes bottlenecked. You'll get 8-10 people inside there, and they're all usually they're never at guest relations usually for a positive thing. So it usually turns ugly every once in a while. So it's nice to maybe if you just have something normal that isn't like something that you want to just upgrade or do that back in Tomorrowland you'll be just doing normal stuff instead of coming in your ticket's not working right or something's wrong or somebody's ticket don't have this on it. Usually the front one's a complaint department. Maybe the back one will be just nothing wrong with it because you need that.
Right.
But maybe the back one will be just where you want to go purchase tickets or do an upgrade. Like they said, it's like I think it'll be a lot less hostile back at the Tomorrowland one.
Well, and you're right. Most people don't have a good thing. Like, how many times you're in line? I thought I had 7 snack credits left, but Johnny only had a bite of his candy bar, and they charged it to my cousin's ticket. And, you know, it's all everything's a big fiasco, and it takes 15, 20 minutes to sort it out.
Exactly.
You know?
Usually that's where they hit right away, or the one outside the park, because that's where I got to go. That's the other thing is the TA, you got to go hunt your tickets down. They just can't be at your hotel waiting for you. God forbid. You got to go to get the Magic Kingdom or river down to Disney Springs to pick your tickets up.
Well, when I was working with the Disney store, they used to actually send us. We had to go to the cast building, which is across the street from Disney Springs. You know where that funky sundial looking thing is, that building? Yeah, they have a big cast store and a cafeteria over there and the credit union. But anyways, particularly when we flew in and didn't have a car, it was kind of a pain to get over there. So you're right. You can't just go to any guest services like all the rest of the guests. There's always, you know, a special condition on getting your tickets, or at least it was for me anyway.
Exactly. So, you know, I got to spend an hour to get before I could even go anywhere.
It is.
Just me crying. It's okay.
Yeah.
You guys talking about tickets reminded me of something. It's on our news, local news down here again. if you're down on your Disney trip and you see the third party ticket vendor outside 7-Eleven selling Disney tickets for $25 and you think, man, this is too good to be true, that's because it is too good to be true. Do not buy third party tickets. You're going to get caught at the front gate. You're not going to be allowed to go into the park. About every third time I get behind somebody and they're arguing with the cast member, well, I bought these tickets and they're not good. You can't get in. So don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yeah, it's the only place I buy my tickets from, or I have. I mean, I haven't tried other places, but I've either got them either right from Disney or from AAA. That's the only two places I've bought them.
AAA, yep. My brother-in-law works for them, so that's where he's getting his.
I mean, you only get a couple of bucks off. It's not a huge discount through AAA. It's just more. It's just convenient. I mean, I happen to have a AAA place like literally a mile from my house, so it's just convenient for me. But it's not like, you know, it's not a huge savings. I think it's $2 or $4 per ticket. It's not much at all.
Yeah, that's about the biggest price break you're going to find is $4 or $5 at the most. If you see them for $50, there's something wrong with it. Either you're going to be stuck watching a timeshare presentation for a day and a half, or you're going to get a crooked ticket. So it's just not a good idea. So
yeah, I mean, back before they had the scanning mechanism that they're going in and out of the parks, I know that's why they were hard on cast members and even us at the Disney store, because even if you had a couple of days left on a ticket, you could sell it because they didn't require an ID, or I guess they could, but they never did. You could just get in. But I think now that they have the fingerprint technology and all that, it's a lot more difficult to, you know, use somebody else's tickets or unused days on a ticket. I don't know. I agree. You just shouldn't mess with that stuff. It's not worth the risk of, you know, paying potentially several hundred dollars of your hard-earned money to a questionable source and then, have to buy them tickets all over again because they won't let you in with the tickets you bought.
Exactly.
It would really piss you off. You get there with your whole family and you thought you saved money and you're all getting rejected. So just buy normal tickets. Go to a credit ticket agent. There's some outside vendors that sell in Orlando that are credible. You just got to make sure they're certified by Disney, because they sell for a couple dollars cheaper, because I know Scott uses them all the time. So
yeah, I mean, you know, it's like anything else. Once you have success somewhere, you have confidence in them. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm sure there are reputable ticket agents out there, like you mentioned, Doug, that are just fine. I've just never had personal experience with them, and I'm kind of wary of stuff like that, but I'm sure that's perfectly fine.
Like John said, if you're saving on a week pass, you might save $20 on a 7-day ticket. I mean, if the family of five, four or five, there's $100, so it's worth it. But like with us, most of the time, it's just me and Brent, and we're nervous about doing it. But like John said, you're not going to save $50 a day. Yeah, you're going to save $2 or $3. Yeah, like John said, at the end of the year, if you're booking for a big family, it's worth saving those couple dollars a day. But you're not going to save $10, $15, $20, $20. You're not going to get your tickets for half price. So beware when it's too good to be true, like John said it is.
Yep.
Yes, it is. Yeah, they come and they go. You'll stop out on 192 or International Drive, and there'll be a kiosk set up in front of the 7-Eleven or in front of the souvenir stand, and it'll be there one day, and 2 days later it'll be gone already. So, you know, it's a fly-by-night operation, and you can't save that much money. You just can't. So it's a bad idea. I think you can maybe get them $5 off, $10 off, and that's
exactly.
It.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly, per day. It ain't going to be anything more than that.
Nope.
So what's up next, Denny?
Let's see here. Changes to smoking locations at Epcot. Disney has made some changes to the smoking locations at Epcot effective this week. Smoking areas near to Morocco, the International Gateway, and near to Mexico have been eliminated. The new smoking area has been added to the French Pavilion, which now joins Italy, the area between Norway and China, the entrance to the Rose Garden walkway in World Showcase, and in Future World near Mission Space and the Land Pavilions. Changes have also recently been made to the smoking locations in the Magic Kingdom.
Well, it showed you how much I love the Rose and Crown, Dan. Sorry to cut you off, but when I first read this article, I'm like, they're going to let you smoke in the entrance of the Rose and Crown pub? I was like, oh, man. I'm like, why are the smokers going to be there by the check-in? And then I read it. realize it's the Rose Garden. Like my whatchamacallit, what do they call that when you can't, the letters get switched around? Dyslexia? Yeah, my dyslexia kicked in. I don't know if I have it, but when it comes to the Rose and Crown, I guess I do. But yeah, I'm like, why are they letting you smoke at the entrance to the Rose and Crown pub?
Yeah, so take note of that. They usually mark that stuff on the park maps and stuff if you need those facilities.
I'm shocked that they even still let you smoke in the parks.
Yeah, I think they got to. They can't. I mean, they got to wean you off of that over many decades, I would think. I mean, there's still quite a few smokers out there that they would never be able to just say you can't
smoke.
But
I'm not even trying to be smart here or not being mean or anything else. But and I'm not even trying to make light of this or be mean about it, but smoking kills more people than the reptiles and the animals do in the parks every year. And I'm just like, I don't understand why it takes so long to ban smoking. I mean, I understand why they put the fences up. They did everything they did. They're trying to be preventative here. But face it, more people die from cigarettes per year than probably almost anything else besides automobiles and stuff like that. So I don't understand how Disney still allows you to smoke in the parks. I don't get it.
Well, because the company can't be a world authority on health-related issues. I mean, you could say the same thing about alcohol. Should they just shut down beer everywhere because people are alcoholics and they get sick?
I just wanted to hear you get fired up, Dan. I knew you would get fired up. I'm just kidding.
That's
no.
Go
ahead, John.
I was going to say, the only thing I would say about that is that if I'm drinking a beer, unless I get drunk, and I'm not going to get drunk, but when I'm drinking a beer, my intake of alcohol is not going to affect you at all. But if I'm smoking a cigarette, my secondhand smoke can affect you or your child. So that's the only difference I see, really.
And I agree with that, John. I think people need to be respectful and stay within the smoking areas, and I'm for that. And, you know, people that break them rules, you know, that's not right. I totally agree with you.
I had a feeling you would fight back with me, so I liked it. But the point of it is it's very near and dear to my heart because I lost both my parents because of it. You know, cause they just were major, major smokers. And now my godson, he's a big boy. He's 6'1", like 275, 280. He's a big kid. He has a big eating. He likes to eat, but he also smokes like a pack and a half a day. And then I pick up my godson's daughters, and they smell like cigarettes. And it's like, it just eats me up, if you follow me, watching that, what it's doing to him.
Sure.
That's where. So I'm just surprised that they're still moving these places. I thought they would get rid of four or five more, make it to where there's one spot in the front, one spot in the back. So
the only thing that happens every time we're at Food and Wine, especially, or the Flower and Garden Festival in the spring, is you get your food and you're looking for a place to sit down and eat it, and I see a nice shady spot right over there, and I head there, and sure enough, it's another smoking section. So it happens to me every time.
No.
So.
My stepmother, the last time we took her down, we felt like we had to keep dropping her off at all the smoking sections. It was like we were finding them. Do you ever have to root for them, Dan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. I think as the decades go on and, you know, the trend is that less people are smoking and moving on to healthier alternatives or whatever, you'll see them incrementally be less prevalent in the parks as we go. It's just one of those things where they're just not going to overnight say you can't smoke in the parks, because that's going to affect, you know, there'll be a certain amount of the people that just won't go. Mm-hmm. So, but as they get less and less, and, you know, it makes sense that they would. I can remember even like on the Disney cruise lines, you used to be able to smoke on your veranda, for instance, and then I think they changed it to just one side of the ship, and then it was just one location. Mm-hmm. But that happened over many, many years. It wasn't just like an overnight thing. So I see the same thing happening at the theme parks. I mean, if you ask me 10 or 15 years down the road, probably won't be any smoking because, you know, the population in general, there'll just be so few of the smokers, they won't be fearful of alienating them because they'll be insignificant because the numbers aren't large enough.
No, I hear.
Well, I pick up my son every once in a while from school, and I don't know about you guys, but you're my same age. You remember coming out of high school, and probably half of the kids, as soon as they got off of school property or as soon as they got out of class, were lighting up a cigarette. And I watch the kids come out of school now, and I don't see a single one of them light up a cigarette. So I definitely think it's a age thing, and it is yeah, the new generation comes along, I think smoking is definitely on its way out. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to not see them altogether gone within 10 or 15 years, like Dennis said.
Yeah, because I was an idiot. I never started smoking until I was 21. It was because I played sports. I lettered in, you know, football, basketball, and baseball, and I used to yell at my parents. And then one day I went out drinking with my buddies. I woke up with a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. I was, like, addicted like that. Because I was joking around. I still remember because they would smoke in the car. I'm like, I might as well be doing this. You're killing me back here. So I just joked around and started doing it, and I was addicted, like, immediately, I guess because all my grandparents smoked, my father, my mother, you know, the whole family did. But, I quit. I only smoked for, like, maybe 5 years, and then I quit again. I smoked hard and heavy for those 5 years, I will say it. I got a lot of use out of it. But the reason I brought up with Disney is because you can't even go into any office buildings anywhere and smoke anymore. You can't smoke in stores. You can't smoke in restaurants. Like, any restaurant around here anymore, you can't smoke in it. So I was just shocked why they're still hanging on longer than most establishments have.
Well, they're outdoors, too.
Yeah,
so, you know.
That's the difference. Yeah. It's outdoors.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, you're still with people. I'm not trying to fight about it. I'm just saying I'm shocked with them, the way they all do drastic things. They usually don't care what people think. We're Disney. You're going to come regardless.
You know, it's funny you say that, though, but this is a good example, and I'll show you why they cater to different user groups, in this case, smokers. If you go over to Coronado Springs, and you'll see it when you're down there in a month, there are ashtrays everywhere over
because
there.
It's the,
you know
yeah,
why?
Because it's a convention area.
Because it's the convention.
Yeah.
And why do you think they don't say, hey, we're smoke-free. If you want to have a convention here, you're not smoking. Mm. Of course, it's the money, and that's what I'm saying. Because they know there are people coming for business conferences there, they don't want to alienate them people, so they're much more liberal at that resort for smoking than at any other resort on property. And again, do I think in 15 years it'll be different? It will be, but until, like I said, the amount of smokers is insignificant, they're not going to just say, we're Disney, and you're not going to do this here, so they allow it. And that tells me that's the reason why they don't do it in the parks, because there's still a significant, you know, amount of people.
Demographic that smokes.
Yeah.
The thing of it is when we were kids, Dan and John, we're all around the same age. We got a few years on the puppy over here, John. Even though I think I might look a little younger than him. We'll see when we meet up, John.
I'm full of gray hair, so you probably
I'm just
so.
Kidding with you. But anyway, when we were kids, the Marlboro Man was cool. You watch The Godfather, he smoked. Every movie, every cool Marlon Brando, everybody growing up, John, every movie you watch, they smoked in it. So,
well,
yeah, and that's the deal. Like, you didn't know how bad it was for you until now.
Right. And that's what I say. And, you know, people with Disney in particular, and again, Walt didn't know it then, but it killed him.
Exactly.
And, you know. But, you know, some people say, well, you know, Walt smoked and they're his parks, so how dare you say you can't smoke? If you could ask Walt now, what would he say? He'd probably say, gee, I shouldn't have smoked, you know.
Well, exactly.
But he didn't know what we all know now.
Yeah, because
right?
Back then they told you how it was good. I mean, some of the commercials, if you watch them back, because I've seen older ones in the 40s and the 50s, they're telling you how good tobacco is for you.
Yeah, do you ever see the one where the surgeon comes out of the operating room and he pulls out a Lucky Strike?
Absolutely.
Nothing relaxes you after a stressful day.
I mean, it was like, holy moly, you would see. I mean, I don't know how I do it now. I mean, like, we're at the hospital. Like, you'll go to the hospital if you're visiting a friend or whatever, or a family member, and you'll look out in the courtyard, you'll see the doctors out and the nurses out there smoking. It's like, I don't know how they do it.
Well, I guess it just goes to show you that it truly
is addictive.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because if a doctor or a nurse, you know, can't quit or won't quit or whatever, that shows you how, you know, how addicting tobacco is.
Yeah, absolutely it is. I know. I seen my father, how bad it was on him. He had 2 bypass surgeries and still continued to smoke.
Yep.
I quit because of it. I seen him. I'm like, holy, how are you, Pop, really? And then it would crack me up. The guy had 2nd bypass surgery. He's still smoking. I go in his truck, and I find the firecracker hot sausages in the console. I'm like, what is wrong with you, man? You know how bad they are for you? I'm like, oh, Pop, I love you, but you got to stop this. Next up, then.
All right. Moving right along. I'm just going to mention in general, we've covered Food and Wine, and like Doug said earlier, we'll be putting out another show with Food and Wine related subject matter later on this week. Just mentioned that Food and Wine, the 2016 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, kicked off earlier this week with all the fanfare and food and drink you can enjoy. So we will skip over this little news article because we covered it in great detail.
Absolutely. But if you want all the menus and stuff, hop online. You can find them. They're everywhere. Go to Bob's. Yep. It's all in WDW for the latest updates. He has everything over there. It's his Super Bowl season. So go over to It's All in WDW and enjoy all the pictures. He does a great job.
Yep, that is true. Let's see. Typhoon Lagoon's Shark Reef to close next month. The Shark Reef snorkeling attraction at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon will be permanently closing at the end of October 2nd, 2016. The 100 by 23-foot Shark Reef at Typhoon Lagoon gives guests the opportunity to snorkel through a sunken ship in a saltwater pool, complete with sharks and tropical fish. An underwater observation area is available for those who want to view without getting wet. The park will be opening a new family raft ride in another area of the park in 2017, Miss Fortune Falls. So, have either of you ever done this attraction?
No, I've never done the Shark Reef. I was planning on doing it too next month. Darn it.
Yeah, I'll give it one of mine. I don't really care because I generally don't do the water parks, and I've never done it. I'm sure it's cool, and I probably would have enjoyed it, but I don't really, you know, partake in the water park. So it's, you know, one of those things that doesn't affect me, but I'm sure there are many that enjoy the water parks and they'll miss this attraction, but you're getting a new water raft ride, so that'll be better.
And this is going to open pretty soon, too. I mean, it's opening in spring of 2017. The family raft ride will become the longest attraction at any Disney water park, clocking in at 2 minutes of ride time. That's a long ride. Miss Fortune Falls brings to life the story of fictitious Captain Mary Oceaneer, a treasure-hunting heroine who got stranded at Typhoon Lagoon years ago by a rogue storm. And then once you're on the ride, it's a pretty long ride. Did you guys see the blueprints of it?
No.
Yeah, I did. It does look quite long.
Yeah, it's gonna be really awesome. I can't wait. Once aboard their treasure rafts, awaiting them at the ride's entry point, guests will embark on a journey through Captain's Oceaneer's past before plunging into the whitewater adventure, where guests can see unique artifacts that Captain Mary's Oceaneer collected on her many treasure hunts around the world. The new ride is being built on unused land near Crushing Gusher. It looks really good.
Absolutely.
Maybe next year.
I'll never see it, but
yeah, maybe next year I'll get Mrs. Main Street on it with me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, let's see here. What else do we got? New fabric outer skin for the upcoming Planet Hollywood Observatory. Planet Hollywood is in the middle of its major renovation into the observatory, and we are now starting to get a good look at the globe and how it will be finished. Based on what they're showing here in the pictures, it's got like, it's blue, like pretty much was with the Planet Hollywood, but there's like stars on it and stuff, but other than that,
I think what they're doing, Dan, I think the new fabric outer skin is being applied over the top of the old painted exterior. So I think the stars are going away, Dan, and they're just going to have the globe.
Oh, okay.
The new fabric outer skin is being applied over the old painted exterior. The globe has been divided into a section with a support structure, which the fabric is then wrapped across. So it looks like it's just going to be completely blue when it's done. So far, a couple of the sections are complete as the work also continues on the new entrance and facade. The new facade looks really nice. I'm looking forward to seeing the new observatory area.
Yeah, it's kind of regal. It kind of contrasts the globe to me. It doesn't look like it goes together, but I'm sure it'll look awesome when it's done.
No, it really does look cool. It looks like something from that you'd find like in downtown Washington or something. You know what I'm saying? Around the Washington Monument or something. That kind of structure. The new facade, the new front. It looks nice. I'm looking forward to trying some of Guy Fieri's sandwiches over here. Sandwiches.
Yeah. Sangies.
Yes.
let's see here. Yeah, we talked about this last week. You can get your planning DVD if you want. I guess the new one's out or recently or will be out soon if it's not out. So those of you that collect them like we talked about, order one up. Let's see. Disney is replacing the Main Street Electrical Parade dining package with Festival of Fantasy Dining. Beginning October 10th, 2016, the Disney Festival of Fantasy Parade dining package will offer a prefix lunch at Tony's Town Square Restaurant and reserved viewing for the Disney Festival of Fantasy Parade. Pricing is $45 for adults and $17 for children ages 3 to 9. At Tony's Town Square, there is a choice of an appetizer, entree, dessert, and non-alcoholic beverage from the lunch menu. As part of the package, a voucher will be issued for reserved viewing near the flagpole in Town Square on Main Street, USA. Reservations for the new Festival of Fantasy dining package will be available for booking on September 13th via 407 WDW Dine. The Main Street Electrical Parade dining package will end on October 9th when the parade ends its run at Magic Kingdom.
Oh, well, just to give some people, it's not a bad deal if you want preferred seating and stuff like that. I mean, if you're getting an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert, I mean, for $45, I don't think it's crazy. Do you guys?
No, I think we talked about this last month or something, and we thought that it wasn't a bad deal for what you get in the location and you know, a little primo viewing of the parade there right at the flagpole. I could see me doing this at some point. It's very reasonably priced, I think.
Yeah, because the appetizers are assorted meat and cheeses, you know, served with peppers, roasted onions, olives, and grilled flatbread for $16. The Iceland Fresca, which is, you know, iceberg lettuce, creamy Italian dressing. It's basically a salad. Zucchini fries, which are $11. Calamari, $15. Pasta fagioli, which is $8. Seasonal soup, and then you have a Caesar salad option. And then the entrees are New York strip steak, spaghetti with sweet Italian sausage, shrimp scampi, Joe's artesian pizza, pasta primavera with chicken, and pasta primavera with shrimp, chicken parmesan, cannellini, Caesar salad with chicken, Caesar salad with shrimp, margarita pizza, pepperoni pizza, you know, vegetarian pizza, sausage, and then fish of the day. And then the dessert menu, you got a... I lost the dessert menu, guys.
Uh-oh.
You got chocolate
Uh-oh.
Cake, you got tiramisu, you got gelato, you got a cannoli, you got seasonal sorbets, and then you got a chef selection. So if you add all that up, I mean, that comes to more than $45, and you get a free viewing of the parade.
Right. I know when we talked about this before, we all thought it was a pretty good value, you know, all things considered. The question I have is what time does the Festival of Fantasy Parade run? Is it the 3 o'clock parade?
Yeah,
that's
the 3 o'clock parade.
So you have to kind of eat a late lunch or an early dinner in order to partake in this? Is that what the deal is?
I would imagine it's just lunch, right?
Yeah,
you probably have to get done by 2.
Yeah.
So.
The lunch menu.
Oh, I see. And then you come back, you get a voucher.
I see.
So it's not limited to just like an hour before that. I was thinking it had to, you know, happen pretty much in succession. But you could eat there any time and then go back with your voucher.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's giving Tony's a couple hour punch in the arm to get some people over there.
Yeah,
you know.
Which is fine.
I like Tony's.
This place. Yeah, and I've eaten there many times, and like I said, it doesn't blow you out of the water, but I think the food is pretty good, and I would have no qualms eating there again.
I've never been disappointed there. I mean, like, I know people complain about it, like you said, Den, but, I mean, I ate at the Olive Garden yesterday. It was great, but it's the Olive Garden. It was good. I mean, we had a good time. We had a nice meal. But
yeah.
It's what I compare Tony's to. I'm never disappointed. The food's always hot. The drinks are cold or hot, depending on which one I order, and the service is always good. I know it's not Le Cellier or the Yachtsman Steakhouse or the California Grill, but for what it is I'm satisfied and usually full. The portions are really good, too. So.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's not GECO, but they don't pretend to be
no.
GECO either.
They're not charging you like GECO.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
What about you, John? Have you ever eaten at Tony's?
I've never eaten at Tony's, and I know you guys are from the Northeast, and so you guys definitely are a little slanted when it comes to Italian food. With you have the specialties up there, but I deliver to Italian restaurants, and I get a lot of discounted or free food from these places. So I definitely have my opinions about Italian food too, and really good Italian food. So And there's so many options at Walt Disney World that I don't want to spend that type of money when I could probably spend the same at Rose and Crown and get a meal that I would thoroughly enjoy. So I just haven't made the decision to eat there. But I love the theming of it because, Lady and the Tramp is who me and my wife are. We took that couples test, and that's who we're supposed to be. So,
What me and Brent loved about it, John, is where it becomes the value. The food is good. Like I said, it's not South Philly Italian food. It's not like, you know, anything like Dennis gets up in Little Italy in New York, or you know what I'm saying, Dan. Or
yeah,
anywhere.
Yeah.
But the point of it is it's good, but the atmosphere is wonderful to me. And the times we've eaten there, it's always been the perfect weather. We've been there like a beautiful night where they have the fans running and you get the Main Street view. You can either sit out on the veranda there, or they have the room that's right next to it. The doors and all are open where you get the view of Main Street. It's just the whole atmosphere of the place is beautiful, if you ask me. I just enjoy eating in there. It's one of our favorites, and I don't care what anybody does or says to me.
Yeah, I think its location is, it's what it's got going for it is its location there. I mean, like you said, Doug, we've eaten out on that veranda many times, and hearing that music, the background loop for Main Street USA, and just people watching, people coming into the Magic Kingdom, and all the sights and sounds and smells of Main Street. I mean, how awesome is that? And you can sit down, relax, and I guess the only thing is you can't have a beer or a glass of wine. That's a detraction to it.
That's the only detraction, because there's nothing like a cold beer with Italian food.
Right, and that's what I was going to say. A lot of people really, enjoy a glass of wine or a beer with their Italian food. So I'm sure that has something to do, too, with them losing
All right, I'll admit it. That's the reason I've never eaten.
There you go. The truth's coming out. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I cannot imagine a nice Italian family sitting down there without a bottle of red wine.
Absolutely not. There's no
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like tradition. I don't think I have my buddy Ramo DiVentura. They own a bunch of Mama Ventura restaurants around here and all. I don't think I ever ate with that family without the wine being broke out.
Yeah, it's part of their culture.
Yes, it's
really.
Like the
it's...
And if you don't drink the red wine with them, which I'm a beer guy, I'm not a wine guy, but I would just basically hold my nose and drink it, because it was less aggravation just putting that glass of wine down and listen to the family yell at you for not drinking the wine. It's like, what?
You didn't want to. Yeah.
What a matter with you? You don't like a wine? You nothing. You nuts? Are you crazy? Look at him, Ramo. Why you bring this guy around? Don't drink it a wine. Like, leave me. Okay, I'll drink it a wine just to shut you up.
Yeah.
Less aggravation.
Yes.
Go ahead, John.
I'm just thinking of my boss and Dario, and then some of the Italian chefs that I deliver to, and taking them out. And you can go to Tutto Gusto, you can go to Via Napoli, and then we'll go over to Tony's Town Square. But wait, you can't get a glass of red wine.
Yeah.
And then just turn around. Yeah. And, alrighty, never mind.
Back to Via Napoli.
Yep.
So what's up next, Denny?
Ken Facey and Brandon Peters named new Walt Disney World ambassadors for 2017-2018.
Our relatives, Johnny.
Yeah.
Let's see. The pair will take over from current ambassadors Nathan and Caitlin in December, beginning their new roles from January 1st, 2017 to December 31st, 2018. Originally from Brooklyn, New York, Ken was recently a leader at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort in housekeeping and custodial, while Brandon was from South Florida and was a performer in entertainment. The Disney Ambassador Program began in Disneyland in 1964 when Walt Disney needed additional help to deal with the media interviews and appearances. Easy for me to say. Yeah, that's an easy word to say, but apparently not for me. Since then, it has become one of the most sought-after roles, representing the more than 70,000 cast members at Walt Disney World at events, openings, and media appearances. So, yeah, they usually roll these people out for, photo ops and, public press conferences and stuff like that. And, it's a pretty good gig. They get to fly all over the world, I guess, not just the country, and, go to different
openings,
Disney and, media yeah, events yeah. and openings and stuff like that. So I've seen them from now and again. I can't remember where. I don't know if they show up on the parade at Christmas time or something like that. But you see these folks. They usually have that, what do they call that thing that goes over your chest, like a, I can't think of it now.
A sash.
Yes, thank you, John. It has some sort of a signature on it.
That's from John's Miss America. And
yep, there you go.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's pretty cool that, you know, I guess when you win this, you're the head, not a Disney geek, but you've excelled at guest service. And, you know, because look at these, one was in custodial and the other one was a performer. So they pull from all sectors of the company. And I guess if you meet certain criteria and you've gotten the accolades in your job and you're the best at what you do, you have a shot at these positions. So it's a great honor within the company.
Well, maybe what you ought to do, John, when you check in over at the Grand Floridian, you should say, where's my cousin Brandon at? I heard he just got a new job over here. I want to see him. And they might believe you with you staying at the Floridian. Yeah, that guy, he must be Brandon's cousin.
So. Let's see. The last story I have here is Big Thunder Mountain at Magic Kingdom is currently closed for refurbishment, with much of the mountain now covered in scaffolding. The refurbishment began on August 8th and is planned to continue through to November 18th. So we're not going to get to see this. I'm bummed.
Me too.
Reopening.
I don't want to cut you off and I'll let you go. The main reason I'm bummed, I was hoping to be here for one time with nothing closed at the park. No scaffold, no construction. I just wanted to see Magic Kingdom whole. Does that make sense to you? And it's just going to be sad to see, and one of the major attractions down.
Yeah, and one of your favorites, too. Yeah, I guess, you know, it's one of those things. Nowadays, it seems like we're never going to see the parks just done and complete, and which is a good thing on the one hand, but when it happens during your particular time there, it does kind of, it stinks, but, there's plenty of other things to do. Yeah, exactly. You can go on Tom Sawyer Island instead.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Or maybe go eat at Pecos Bill's new menu.
Yeah, and have a Tex-Mex burger or something.
No.
Yeah, it was funny. The last time we were at the Magic Kingdom, I took a whole bunch of pictures of Cinderella's castle, specifically because it was the first time that we had accidentally got out there a day when there was not a crane up around it. And so and take a bunch of pictures because it seems like every time we go, there's a crane doing something to it. And I know when we get back out there this time, the crane will probably be up already putting
Christmas holiday lights
on
that's
it.
That's what I was going to say. By the time we get there, for sure, it's going to have a crane around it.
Yep. So
I finished reading that, Dan. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, it was pretty much it. Let's see here. I think I had a sentence left. It was nothing. It's planned to continue through to November 18th, opening to guests on November 19th. So, we still got a ways to go. If you're going down during this time, obviously you won't be going on Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, I love the signage. Big Thunder Mining. Notice, mine closed until further notice. Mountain goat infestation. Seeking miners with herding experience.
They could have said, go see our other mine over at the Seven Dwarfs in Fantasyland or something, right?
Yes. And we're sorry the good ride is closed. You might have to go over and ride Expedition Everest.
Wow.
No,
that's all I got for news. You got anything?
No, that's all I have, except for hopefully the three of us will be down there next month together. That's the big news. There are four of us. Sorry, Bob and Mary.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're all together and get to have some drinks around the world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know you just booked recently, Doug, so your countdown is shorter than mine, but mine seems like it's been going on forever, so I'm really starting to get excited about it. It's at that point where it seems real now, and, you know, I think I said I got 37 days or something like that till we check in, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I got ordered the Magic Bands last night, so.
Nice.
So they should be coming. That's usually a nice reward to get them in the box. So, and you get to wear your new one, Dan, your daughter bought you.
Yeah, I got my Steamboat Willie black and white magic band.
Well, that's nice. I might end up investing in one of them, so this way I wear the same one all the time. I don't have to worry about it.
That's what I like it for. I just worry about one. It's distinct. It sticks out from all the others. And I think we covered this, but you can now, when you go to get your magic bands, you can decline them if you're worried about wastefulness and having them send them out for something you're not going to use. You can check that box and they just won't send them, which I know, I think you made the point, Doug, you enjoy getting the box and all that and kind of get you psyched for your vacation. And I get that. But on the other hand, you know, when you have 30 or 40 of them, to me, that enough is enough. So I declined, and I'm just going to go with my band that I have already.
Nah, well, that's cool. I want mine for now.
Yeah, but, yeah, you paid for it. You might as well get
I'll
it.
Give them
right?
to my nieces to play with.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've got a grumpy one, and the wife has a Haunted Mansion one that we've had for probably a year and a half now. So, yeah, we decline them all the time. So
yeah, I think when I'm down here this trip, I'm probably gonna get, as my souvenir, get me one of them, and probably get my wife one.
Yeah, they're kind of nice. They're a little softer than the other ones, John, don't you think? They're made a little bit differently than the typical ones they give out.
Yeah, they're a little lighter, and they seem to be made of just a little bit of a different material where it doesn't cause your wrist to quite sweat as much as
yeah.
the older ones did. So
and that's what I was most happy about and surprised with. I thought they were just a standard band that had some sort of embroidering or you know, some sort of, however they put that on there. But yeah, they're actually different, and the material, it seems like it's softer too, and it isn't as abrasive on your skin. And to your point, John, I know when I wear mine, I sweat a lot underneath the band, so I'm looking forward to trying these new ones out.
And they're really not, for one of the few things I will say, they're for the $20 or $25, they're really not that bad. They're not that expensive as far as Disney grand scheme of things.
And like you said, Doug, although, you know, you say you tend not to buy a lot of souvenirs, this is something that's kind of a souvenir, but it also serves
a purpose,
so you can justify it. You know, it's not just a tchotchke or whatever. It's something you're going to use time and time again.
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to that. I even might go over and look over by Space Mountain and see if we could do something with that Main Street one. Maybe get a custom made up with WDW Main Street on it.
Yeah, check into them. There's some of them that do kind of unique things, like when Lisa rides the Haunted Mansion and does her, she gets a different noise and stuff when we go through the Fast Pass. Because,
really?
It reads the Haunted Mansion as, you know, a specific thing. I think you hear bats fly off or something. I forget what it is, but it's different.
We should get you one that it sounds like a beer pouring when you're walking by Rose and Crown.
That would be awesome if I could find that.
But Doug, when he goes through the turnstile, fast passes for everyone.
Yes.
All right, not fast passes. What is it?
Park hoppers for all.
Park hoppers.
Yeah, park hoppers. I'm moving my own.
Park hoppers for all.
Or when I enter Rosencrown, bangers and mash, bangers and mash, bangers and mash.
There you go. That would be awesome.
No, but this has been a lot of fun, guys. If you don't have anything else, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Go check John's. What's your new podcast, John?
That's called the Weekly Pint Podcast. And, we got our first show out, and we'll have another one coming out on Thursday.
Right.
So.
And check our good buddies out over at the Mickey Dudes, too. They're doing good things. Dave raised all that money for Give Kids the World, so we just want to tell him good job again. And please go follow us all at Twitter. You can follow John at Beer Solo. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. And you can follow me at good old Grumpy 6767. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Also, go over to Douglas Davis and WDW Main Street on Facebook. And John will be posting pictures, I'm sure, again, won't you, John?
Yeah, I was going to say that for everybody who wants to keep up to date on food and wine this week, send me a friend request over on Facebook at John Peters, or make sure to follow me. I'm going to put lots and lots of pictures up. So that's at Beer Solo on Twitter.
And let us know if the filet is still overcooked. You get it. All right, guys, this has been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon. Have a great week.
See you.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.